Good evening and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee. Apologies for the delay with the flip charts and the acetates, but we've eventually got it to work. My name is Brendan McKeown and I'll be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we do start. For everyone present, if you have a mobile phone, please switch it off or set it to silent mode. Any members of the public, please refrain from commenting from the public gallery. Oh dear, if there is any disruption to the meeting, you can be asked to leave. That's a new one they put in here, right. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I have officers from the Law and Governance Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately, as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes, and I'll indicate when they have 1 minute left. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes, and again, I'll let them know when they're 1 minute to go. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as that enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any relevant planning matters. We now move on to the agenda proper. Minutes of the meeting of the 23rd of October. Are we okay to sign that one? You are present. Thank you very much. Thank you. Do we have any apologies?
Yes, Chairman. Apologies received from Councillor Nixon, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Pardeski, and also from Councillor Phillips, who hasn't appointed a substitute.
Okay, thank you. Any declarations of members' interest or any lobbying? No? Delegated applications circulated separately? Yes?
Yes, Chairman.
Thank you. And so we move on to page 3, planning applications. Planning application first is 24/3/8874, full Leonard's Croft 80, Lichfield Road, Stafford, called in by Councillor Julian Thorley. So, Sean, you want to open the batting?
Okay, this is application 24/3/8874. It's number 80 Lichfield Road. This application was originally taken to committee on the 10th of July of this year, but was deferred for comments from Environmental Health and from the County Archaeologist. The report presented to committee on the 10th of July actually does form part of today's agenda, so you may have noticed there's actually two reports in the agenda for 80 Lichfield Road. The application proposes a detached outbuilding just off the south-east boundary of the site to form a garden room for the occupiers and the staff of the care home. There was a previous application in which was withdrawn due to some issues with the boundary and trees. So firstly, we've got one correction, procedural matter. A correction needs to be made to condition 5 on page 12 of the agenda. The condition should refer to 80 Lichfield Road and not 180 Lichfield Road. Therefore, any committee resolution to grant permission today should therefore include the correction of condition 5. Looking at the plans, we've got the red edge plan view, showing the site there. And an aerial view, so this is Lichfield Road. Quite a number of photographs of this site. We've basically got 5 all sort of looking in a similar direction towards where the proposed outbuilding would be located. So photo 1 shows an existing structure and the boundary treatment to the site. This Image 2 shows the same outbuilding from a slightly different angle. Image 3 again, very similar to the previous images, just a slightly different angle of the photograph. Image 4 shows the relationship of the existing outbuilding with the back of the property. And finally, image 5 just shows a tree which is in close proximity. We've also got three images taken from the neighbour. So you'll see the outbuilding that we've just seen on the previous photographs sort of straddles the boundary with next door. So neighbour image 1 is taken from the neighbouring property and shows the outbuilding from the neighbour's side.
That screen is working.
It's not working, I'm afraid, sorry.
Image 2 again is just showing the back of the property and the boundary treatment. And then finally, image 3 shows the outbuilding from the neighbour's side. So looking at the plans, again, another red edge plan. It's quite a small plan there, but we can clearly see the site edged in red in Litchfield Road here. Plan 2 is just simply a larger image of what we've just seen. Plan 3, you can see the position here of the proposed outbuilding. So the photos that I've just shown you showed an outbuilding here. So you can see outlined here, this is next door. So the existing outbuilding that we saw in the photographs effectively sits at the boundary with the application site and the neighbouring property. So when the application came to committee previously, some further investigation work has been done looking at actually where the boundary sits and who owns the building. It actually does fall wholly within the neighbour's ownership. This plan unfortunately is shown a blue edge, and the plan I had on my presentation shouldn't show a blue edge. This is not the most up-to-date presentation, but yeah, there's a blue edge here, but the approved plan, the red edge, clearly shows that outbuilding sits outside the boundary of next door. So the outbuilding that's proposed, we can see the elevations here. It's obviously a fairly small building. It's essentially a garden room for the occupiers and staff of the care home. It would be located next to the existing outbuilding and would have a maximum height of 2.8 metres. Proposed building would have a cedar cladding to three elevations and an anthracite cladding to the south elevation here. No comments are raised in respect of trees or to the impact on the character and appearance of the area. The proposed building is a low height at just 2.8 metres and the officer report does have regard to the presence of the existing outbuilding and the boundary treatments that are currently in place and regard to the amenities of number 81 Litchfield Road, the adjacent property. Following committee in July, we now have received environmental health comments. They've raised no objections. We've also received comments from the county archaeologist, who also raises no objections subject to the condition. The Highway Authority have raised an objection to the application, but it's not actually relevant as the proposal does not generate any requirement for any additional parking and it doesn't result in the loss of any parking and the access remains the same. The recommendation is to approve subject to conditions listed in the agenda.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. As I said, it's been called in by Councillor Thorley for the reasons set out on page 4. I believe we have someone speaking in support of Mr. Simon Metcalf. Would you like to come to the table, please?
Thank
When you're ready, you have 3 minutes, and I'll let you know when you've used two of them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you this evening. The application before you seeks planning permission for the erection of a small, single-storey building within the garden of Leonard's Croft. Leonard's Croft is an established care home which is operated by the Priory Group. The home provides specialist residential support for up to 8 adults with learning disabilities, autism and other complex needs. To ensure that the needs of existing staff and existing residents at Leonard's Croft are fully met, there is a need to provide additional space. To be clear, the proposal will not lead to any increase in the number of residents or staff on the site. The proposed garden building will provide approximately 22 square metres of additional space and be no more than 2.8 metres in height. The garden building is proposed to be located such that it will not be visible from the street. Notwithstanding this, the building is proposed to have an attractive appearance, clad in cedar with aluminium windows and doors, very much reflective of what would be expected in a residential setting such as this. Careful consideration has been given to the location, size and design of the garden building, and the proposal takes full account of discussions of your officers, as well as the proximity of adjacent residential occupiers. As your officers set out in their report to committee, policy C3 of your adopted plan is permissive of the extension of care homes. Your officers have confirmed that the principle of development here is acceptable. In regard to the specific policy criteria, we note the clear conclusions of your officers' report. In particular, that the building is appropriately sited and designed, that the use of the building incidental to the existing local care home use is acceptable, and that the garden building would not have any significant impact on the adjacent residential properties. It would not be overbearing or result in overshadowing. In regard to parking, the proposal does not warrant the provision of any additional parking spaces, as no additional staff or residents would result from the proposal, nor would the proposal change the existing parking provision on site. There would be no impact on trees that are on site. A tree survey and report accompany the application, and tree protection measures can be put in place during the limited construction works.
You have 1 minute.
The potential for archaeology to be present on the site is recognised, and the applicant has sought advice from the county archaeologist prior to submission of the application, and is intended to commit to undertaking an archaeological watching brief for all the groundworks. In conclusion, the provision of a small garden building at this established care home is in principle acceptable. The proposal is required to meet the needs of existing staff and residents only. The proposal is in full accordance with the requirements of policy C3 of your adopted plan. I would therefore respectfully ask you support your officer's clear and robust recommendation to approve our application, and in so doing allow the Priory Group to continue to invest in the future of these residents at Leonard's Croft. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. If you'd like to return to your seat, Councillor Gillian Pardesi, you're substituting for Councillor Nixon.
Councillor Nixon.
Yes, you are. That's what I meant to say. And we wish him well, because I think believe he's having some procedure. Okay, when you're ready, 5 minutes.
Can I begin with saying that it's important to emphasise that Mr. and Mrs. Harris have no objection to the purpose and use of this care home and fully support the work of the company for the benefit and support of the residents. The report states that this proposed building will be incidental to the use of this residential care home and will not be used as primary living accommodation, including sleeping accommodation. The theory and wording of this statement appears reasonable and uncontroversial. However, Mr. and Mrs. Harris have already experienced considerable periods of immense stress caused by noise from this care home during day and nighttime hours, which resulted in a court order being obtained. Considerable distress has also been caused to Mrs. Harris's 84-year-old father, who lives in the extension nearest to the care home. The very thought of all this being repeated from a further building leaves them with a sense of alarm and that it will be history repeating itself. The possibility of living through all that again fills the family with dread. In order to have some sort of guarantee and reassurance, the Harris family request a condition or stipulation that prohibits the use of this detached garden building between the hours of 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. for the sake of their sleep, mental well-being and home life.
I'm sorry, I was waiting for you to carry on.
Okay, no, sorry.
Short and sweet, thank you very much, thank you. Okay, yeah, we've heard now from a supporter and from Councillor Gillian Pardesi. So who would like to start speaking on this one? You must have something to say, surely. Councillor Anne Hobbs.
I think that's a reasonable request, really, isn't it? Because we've had one like this before where they've had, I think it was children with learning difficulties, and including autism. And the neighbours there protested about the noise considerably, didn't they, and prevented a second part to that care home being built. So, you know, to me, it's not unreasonable to ask for it to be quiet between those hours, is it?
Just remind me, did you say 11 p.m. to 7?
To 7 a.m.
Yes, okay, got that. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Scott Spencer.
I think there is a condition 5, isn't there, which already states it should not be occupied at any time other than for the purposes of incidental to the use of the residential care home. Presumably we're looking to add a condition in part and parcel with that condition that already exists. Is that the idea?
Well, it can be either addendum to that condition or a separate condition.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyone else wish to speak?
Sorry, Chair. One other thing, which isn't related to what Councillor Pardesi said, actually, but just as a condition which I see it would be a good condition on a building of this type, flat roofed and so forth, in a garden area being overlooked, would be the potential to add a green roof to that building to make it fit more into the landscape and to lessen the impact to surround certainly the property next door. Mm-hmm. So, if we're adding this condition with regard to the time frame, I think a further condition to let it help it blend into a garden setting as a green roof is a good idea.
I don't know if we can do that because the plan is what it is before us.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else wish to speak?
Can I just ask?
Right across.
You did say that the bit that struggles with the neighbour, that the extension is within the curtilage of the application site.
Yeah, so the outbuilding would sit wholly within the application site. The building on the photograph actually straddles the boundary of the application site and the neighbour, but the building is wholly within the ownership of the neighbouring property. So you can see the building.
So the outbuilding belongs to the neighbouring property.
It does. Partly on, yeah, it's a bit of a strange situation. Since this came to committee in July, they have checked their title deeds, and it does belong to next door. Even though visibly we can see that part of it does appear to sit within their garden. I think the boundary wall, in one of the pictures here, you can see sort of almost cuts through the building, but that outbuilding does not belong to the application property. It belongs to next door.
Right. So could the owner of the next door knock that down if they wanted?
I suppose so, yeah.
And would there be a wall there then between?
I guess that would be a private issue.
Yeah. I suppose they could brick up that opening anyway.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to ask for that condition, that it not be occupied between 2300 and 0700?
I don't think it sounds particularly unreasonable, but my concern would be whether it would be enforceable. If there was a statutory noise nuisance, that would fall under separate legislation with environmental health. Anything to add, Lucy?
There is separate antisocial behaviour legislation that covers not only the noise nuisance but also just uses of property and stuff, and because it's outside, then that would fall within the antisocial behaviour legislation, and there are powers of enforcement through that. That is more enforceable than a planning condition, because it's not planning who would be able to enforce the noise issue, it's an environmental health issue. So what you're going to have is, if you were to put a planning condition in, it's not something that planning in themselves could enforce. It would be a breach of a planning condition, but then they wouldn't be the department that would actually deal with the noise, because it would have to be environmental health who would have to determine the noise aspect.
Well, is there anything we can put in? Obviously, the neighbours are not against this application. Is there anything that we can put in or say to reassure the neighbours?
Could we make recommendation? The committee recommends that.
You could put a request in to the site owners.
Could we add an informative note?
Yeah, that would be that would be acceptable.
That might be.
Yes.
Okay.
That's not going to cause an issue in the same way.
So instead of a condition as such, the informative note would be
about
those particular times.
Yes, based upon previous experience because of what's happened. So of course, the owners of the property are going to be aware of it.
So we could add an informative note suggesting that the building is not in use
during those times.
So, I don't know who was first.
No, you were.
Ian Fordham.
Yeah, I'm hearing that the major issue is this 11-7, something I completely understand. And I would have supported a condition. I hear the legal advice, but using the environmental health legislation is going to be quite a relatively lengthy process, I think, compared with what we're talking about here.
Not necessarily.
I feel uncomfortable that we're actually stepping away from this. If it has to be done via environmental health legislation, ultimately fine, but we're actually sending a message here that there could be an issue and we wish to avoid it.
Planning conditions have to be enforceable and they have to relate to the application. The difficulty you're doing is you're asking a planning condition and therefore planning to basically police the use of a building.
Well, I've seen many planning conditions that have been set down which are actually about the conditions of use for the building.
But you're effectively asking them to police a very specific part of the building. Effectively you're saying we will only let you build this if you agree to this and do this, and it has the potential to become problematic in its enforceability.
One of the reasons this was deferred from the committee in July was to obtain comments from Environmental Health, which we didn't have when it came first time round. Environmental Health have now been consulted and they don't raise any objections.
Were they aware of the background?
They've seen all the application documentation, they're aware of the use of the premises, obviously they can see what the proposal is for. And no objections have been raised by Environmental Health.
Councillor Scott Spencer.
Are we clear what the building's to be used for specifically? Is it offices? Is it
garden room?
Just garden room for the residents
and staff.
Incidental to the use of the
So there is a condition that we are recommending, condition 5. Which is the condition I mentioned, actually should state 80 Litchfield Road, not 180, say that it should be used for purposes incidental to use of the care home.
Can
not used for primary living accommodation, no sleeping accommodation, and should not be let or occupied independently.
Can we not, I'm sure I've seen conditions like this before, to do with noise pollution, have some sort of minimum or maximum, sorry, let's say, permittable noise from this development or noise can or some sort of acoustic acoustics.
That's in relation to it says noise stipulation, that's in relation to physical development,
right,
and the works that have been doing it. Once it's up and running, that it becomes a noise nuisance under the Environmental Protection Act.
So could we stipulate maybe an upgraded acoustic cladding or something of the building potentially?
I can see the garden area is already being used by the residents.
Yeah.
So they can make a noise in the garden, but then you're saying they can't make a noise in the garden room.
I suppose it comes down to if you have music playing or TV.
The very, very nature of the garden room is the doors may be open because they may be enjoying the garden whilst perhaps using the room at the same time.
Sure.
So we can put an informative note that the garden room should not be occupied between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. We can do that.
Or we can advise them.
Yeah.
So it's an advice.
As a committee, we could say that, if you're minded to go along with that.
Kind of propose approval as per the officer's recommendation with that caveat, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Cross?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Councillor Andy McNaughton. So we have a proposal to approve, subject to that informative note being added. All those in favour of the proposal, please show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's unanimous, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for that. We now move on to application number 2439151.
Can we just swap the laptops over, because that wasn't the most up to date?
Okay.
Presentation, and we know there's photographs that need to be shown.
Is that one
for Jodie?
Yeah,
this one. Finally. So just bear with us 1 second.
Right, let's try to find what page we're just on. Page 31. Okay, hold on a second. Over there, okay, good. So okay, thank you very much. Application 24/39151, 54 Windsor Road, Queensville, called in by Councillor Jenny Barron. And Jodie, you're going to present this one.
This application, the application site comprises 54 Windsor Road, it's a two-storey semi-detached dwelling and its associated driveway and garden. The proposal includes a two-storey side extension a single storey rear extension and extending the existing drop curb to a lot.
Okay, carry on please.
Would you
like me to come to the table?
I'll call you in a moment, Jim.
Okay, thank you. Confusing what's going on. Okay.
Yeah.
The proposal includes a two-storey side extension, a single-storey rear extension and the extension of the existing drop curb to allow for a wider access to the front of the property. Before I run through the presentation, I wish to draw members' attention to an error on page 34 of the agenda in relation to residential amenities and the projection of the proposed extension in relation to the rear elevation of number 52. You'll see that the report says that the proposed extension would be 2.5 metres past that of the neighbour. However, this would actually be around 1.8 metres, including the roof overhang. And as such, the breach mentioned within the report would be less, and I will discuss this further throughout the presentation. So first we've got the plan view, clearly showing the application site in red. So the dwelling is situated towards the end of Windsor Road between adjoining property number 52 and number 56, which is a detached bungalow. And then we've got the aerial view. You can see a bit better picture here that you've got the river paint to the rear of the application site. And then next we have the photo plan. So we've got six photos for this one taken during the officer's site visit. So the first photo we've got taken from the highway in front of the dwelling, you can clearly see the parking provision, the relationship with number 56 and the gap where the two-storey extension would go. Again, taken at the front of the dwelling, image two, a little bit closer this time, but shows where the two-storey extension would be situated. Image three, we've then got, this one's taken from the garden of number 54, facing out onto Windsor Road, showing the same sort of angle, just from a different position, where you'll see the two-storey extension where it should go. Image four, again in the rear garden, a different angle, which now includes the adjoining property, number 52, and also the rear projection that number 52 currently has. Image 5, again, similar angle, just shows the application dwelling in full. And then image 6. Was pointed more towards the neighbouring property number 56, viewed from the rear garden. Here you can see where the single storey rear extension will go. I will just take you back quickly to these images here. You can also see at this point the sort of difference in land level. So the house is higher and the garden slopes downwards away from the dwelling. Okay, just got some photos that have been submitted by Councillor Barron, which will be discussed a little bit later on in the presentation. Okay, so firstly, plan one, we've got the location plan. This is again clearly showing the application site edged in red. The proposed site plan, you can see here we've got the proposed parking provision, two at the front, one under the carport. And then you can see the positioning of the two-storey side extension and the single-storey rear extension. So when measured, it shows that the proposed extension would project 2.5 metres further than the extension to number 52, which is noted within the officer report. However, the extension to number 52 is 3 metres in depth, and the proposed extension is 4 metres in depth, 4.8 including the roof overhang. Therefore, the projection beyond the neighbouring property would be 1.8 and not 2.5. Okay, we've got the existing plans showing the dwelling as it is now, both floor plans and elevations. And then we've got the proposed plans here, again, floor plans and elevations. So, We have a two-storey side extension. It will follow the same architectural design as the existing dwelling in its hipped roof form. It would be a step down in height and a step back from the frontage of the property, allowing it to appear subservient to the host dwelling. Materials of this element of the scheme are to match those of the existing dwelling as shown on the elevations. We've got the single-storey rear extension. This will project 4 metres beyond the rear elevation, 4.8 when including the roof overhang, flat roof and the height of 3.1. This would comprise of black render, whilst the roof form and the black render would be out of keeping with the host dwelling and the surrounding area. It is to the rear of the application site, so it would not have a visual presence on the street scene. So I'm just going to go back to plan two whilst discussing amenity. With regard to the proposal's impacts upon the amenity of the neighbouring properties, there is a minor breach which is discussed in the officer's report. This would be less given the discrepancy of the proposed site plan that I've just discussed. On the other side of the application dwelling, there is number 56, which is a detached bungalow. It's noted that the two-storey side extension would reduce the separation distance between the two properties. However, a distance of 3.6 would remain. There are no amenity concerns raised within the report regarding this property. We've got highway. So local highway authority requested that the drop curb be extended to the front of the property. This is now shown on the site plan, alongside the adequate parking provision. It is recommended that in addition to the conditions shown on page 37 of the agenda, a condition should be attached securing the proposed parking provision for the lifetime of the development. This is because further down the line, some changes could be made to the extension by way of blocking up the carport under permitted development and use as habitable space, which would then result in a loss of a parking space. Okay, plan 5. We've got plan 5. This is a map from the Environment Agency. So you can see here the extent of flood zone 2 and 3 within the rear garden of the application site. It doesn't actually cover the dwelling itself, but certainly covers a portion of the rear garden. This is from our mapping system, a little bit more zoomed in so you can see the extent of the flood zones in more detail there. So we've got flood zone 3, which is the darker blue. That the proposed extension should not interact with flood zone 3. Flood zone 2 appears to only interact with the corner of the proposed rear extension, which is mentioned within the flood risk assessment that was submitted with the application. It was concluded within the flood risk assessment that it is unlikely that the proposal would lead to an increased risk of flooding to the host dwelling and surrounding area. You'll see from the report that there are no adverse impacts considered to result in respect to the proposal's impact upon couch and appearance, car parking provision and flooding. Whilst the breach is identified with regard to the residential amenity of the neighbouring property number 52, as mentioned previously, this breach would be less given the discrepancy on the proposed site plan concerning the depth of the extension at the neighbouring property. The recommendation is to approve, subject to conditions listed and the one additional condition securing the car parking provision for the lifetime of the development.
Thank you, Jodie. We have a speaker in objection, Mr. Michael Cozan. Have I got that right?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. When you're all ready, you have 3 minutes.
My wife and I have lived at 52 Windsor Road for over 40 years. We're objecting to the rear single-storey extension part of the application on the grounds of its layout, scale, design, and external appearance, and massing of the site. We feel that the applicants have not paid sufficient heed to the advice contained in Stafford Borough Council's design supplementary planning document. We ourselves have had a 3 metre single-storey rear extension constructed under permitted development rules. We adopted the design principles contained in the SPD and had a sloping tiled roof fitted. In your papers, the planning case officer describes the rear extension as measuring 4 by 5.8 metres. this flat roof extension will be joined seamlessly to the side extension, creating a total flat roof construction measuring 4 by 9.2 metres wide, extending across virtually the full width of the applicant's property. It will also have a roof overhang lip of almost a metre. The plans illustrate just how large this flat roof will be. The case officer has stated that its black rendering will be out of keeping with the existing dwelling. We strongly feel that the flat roof is out of keeping with the existing pitched and sloping roofs of number 54 and 52 and adjacent properties. The photograph on page 47 of the SPD illustrates the point as to how this extension will detract from the aesthetic appearance of our combined semi-detached properties. Since the application was submitted, the applicants have erected a number of structures in their rear garden, including a large shipping container which has been extensively modified. The case officers told me that these were not in place at the time of the site visit. Being sited adjacent to a floodplain, which is flooding with increasing regularity, I would ask you to consider the likelihood that a larger than absolutely necessary development will invariably be adversely affected by flooding in the future.
Just 1 minute now.
We would withdraw our objection if the rear extension were to be pared back to 3 metres in depth, within 3.5 metres of the shared boundary, and with a maximum roof overhang of 300 millimetres within this distance. In conclusion, our principal objections are the design, excessive size and overbearing nature of the flat roof extension, the detrimental appearance it will have on the rear aspect of the joined properties. Therefore, we are asking the committee to give us relief against the unreasonable aspects of this planning application. I would like to thank members of the committee for listening to my representations.
Thank you very much for that. Councillor Jenny Barron, you speak as the ward member, and it's your calling.
Good evening. I would like to thank the chairman and the committee for allowing me to give this presentation along with the relevant photographs provided, which are, you've seen, on 1-4. I've lived in Newton Cross for over 40 years and been the local councillor for 9 years. During that time, I've been made very aware of the consequences of building and development around the Bradford floodplain. The reasons I have called in this application are because of its large scale and its encroachment onto the floodplain, even though you state 1.8 and not 2.5, which was the case. I am sure that everyone is aware of climate change and its effect on low-lying districts such as parts of Stafford Borough. It is clear from councillors' photographs 2, 3 and 4 that the ground has been raised, but this action has just pushed the flood water onto neighbouring properties. However, I would not have objected to this development had it been a smaller scale and further away from the flood meadow and its construction of a similar nature to its neighbours' extensions. The site visit to this property was conducted by planning officers in August, which is not the most appropriate time to visit a property in flood zone 2 and 3. I would urge the members of the planning committee to refuse this application or to make a site visit at this time of year before making their final decision. Also, to visit the site to see the structures that have been recently erected at the bottom of the garden on raised ground. There is a shipping container which is now covered with a wooden structure, and behind this container is a further outbuilding. The houses in Windsor Road were built in the 1930s, but would probably not receive planning permission today with close proximity to flood meadows zone 2 and 3. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barrett. As you've heard from the officers, you heard from an objector, you heard from the ward member. Who would like to start? Councillor Scott Spencer.
Thank you,
I didn't necessarily have an issue with this application until I've just seen this photograph here with all the additional development that's taken place. And has this taken place with a permitted development? Was an application put forward for these buildings? Has it been taken into account with the extension that's been proposed now?
I don't think we've seen an LDCP for this application. Sorry, for those outbuildings, but you don't need to if you want to construct something under committed development. You can just do it so long as it is committed development.
Well, I subsequently followed up that with the flood risk assessment that was provided, which you produced. Was it before these buildings were placed or afterwards?
I don't think it specifies, but the flood risk assessment has obviously been submitted as part of this planning application, looking at this specific proposal, not the outbuildings.
But the officers, when they initially looked at this, none of these structures were here.
I think we have to deal with the application. If there are issues in terms of the outbuildings that have been constructed or the shipping container, then that's...
It would be a separate issue. If, for argument's sake, these outbuildings don't meet the requirements of committed development, then that would have to be something we would look at separately via enforcement.
Right. So the reason I say is because it obviously has a quite a consequence on the flood risk assessment and the flooding that's mentioned in this report.
The flood risk assessment bill has been put together looking at what's being proposed under the application, which is the two-story side extension of the rear flat roofed extension. I doubt it would have taken into consideration the outbuildings, because the application is not assessing the outbuildings.
No. Okay.
Councillor Andy McNaughton.
What's the difference then between the two flood? The two flood zones, is one more likely to happen than the other?
Can I answer that? Flood zone 3 tends to be sort of 1 in 10. It's likelihood of happening. Mm. Flood zone 2 is less likely, like maybe 1 in 100, whereas flood zone 3 is, I think, 1 in 25, something like that. So regularity of occurrence.
So in other words, the light blue one that the corner would go into is less likely to happen?
Yes.
The other point is, does it matter isn't it just a problem of the person who owns the building? Are we bothered if it floods or not?
Well, if you build something on a floodplain and that's under permitted development, then
it is a carport as well. So the flood zone clips the corner of the proposal. It's not a habitable building, it is a carport. I think if Jodie could put the plan up again.
This is the edge here.
So if you look at the ground floor plan, it's all carport down the side. Mm. So literally it clips that top edge.
And the condition is that carport can't be
converted,
turned into habitable, because we lose a parking space.
Yeah, Councillor Brian Ross. Chair, through on page 35, item 6 is about the flooding, and it tends to cover the concerns that have been expressed by Councillor McNaughton. Mm.
Councillor Ian Fordham.
Thanks, Chair. Could we just have an understanding of what part of this application would have been carried out or could have been carried out under permitted development rights? Because it has been mentioned several times.
So the two-storey side extension wouldn't be permitted development. Anything that's over a single storey would require planning permission. This property being semi-detached property can implement a rear extension up to 3 metres under permitted development, or they could apply for a larger home scheme which would allow and enable an extension between 4 to 6 metres should it be granted by the council.
Ian Fordham.
Can I ask again, Chair, the whole question of design style seems to me quite relevant. What's the officer's view on design style in this case?
I heard
you say it's for the rear of the property, therefore it's not affecting the streets.
Yeah.
But is this a norm?
These flat roofs with the glass thing in the middle of it, the lantern are quite commonplace, aren't they?
Quite common, this style of extension these days. And
as Jodie pointed out, the extension fronting onto the street sea, the ridge line is set below the height of the main ridge, the first floor element is set back. In design terms, we are happy with what's being proposed, certainly from a street scene point of view. The rear extension, as Jodie pointed out, it's at the back, and it's not unusual to see an extension of this style.
The roof is shown in green. Is it a green roof?
It is shown in green. It looks to be a green roof on the plans. There's no mention of that within the officer report, but the plans do show, as you can see on the elevation, it looks like you can see the green on the side elevations, and then on the floor plan.
So it would be a planted roof, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyone else?
Yeah,
Brian Cross?
On the shipping container, I have one on my ward actually, and it was deemed that it was permitted development that the builder put it in. What wasn't permitted development was the roof he put over it, which did require planning committee and went to appeal, and in fact the inspector said it had to be removed. But the actual container apparently was within permitted development rights.
Anyone else wish to speak?
Can I again? This extension exceeds the next door by 1 metre.
1.8, was it 1.8?
1 metre to the wall of the rear wall, and then an extra 0.8 metre for the roof overhang.
Right. Will that affect or impact on the 45 degree angle that you have?
A 45 degree line of sight was the assessment was made during the officer assessment, but obviously, as I mentioned, the site plan doesn't show the full extent of the next door property, so a minor breach was discussed. However, because it didn't show the full 3 metres, it would be a lesser breach. I think if it was done if the extension was shown at 3 metres, a depth of 3 metres, the 45 degree line of sight would just about intercept the extension, but it would be within the roof hang, not within the actual brick wall.
Thank you.
Do you understand that?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Any more? Any more? Does anyone wish to make a proposal? Add any more conditions or otherwise? Well, okay, I'll take the bull by the horns then, and I will propose that we accept this application as set out by the officers and for the reasons therein. If anyone would like to second that. Just read that extra condition to me. Councillor Alexander, but you're going to second my proposal, and just remind me the no conversion of the carport.
Yep, so it'd be an additional condition which would basically restrict the parking provision for the lifetime of the development, which would mean that the carport cannot be converted to habitable space and just for parking.
Because you would lose parking spaces.
Yep.
So, proposed and seconded that we approve it as set out. All those in favour, please show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and those against? Those abstaining? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay.
Can't be 5, can't be. Can we take that vote again? Sorry.
Those against?
Those 4.
Who's supporting the proposal?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Against?
Are those against?
Sure.
Those abstaining?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So that's okay. I'll casting vote and go with the officer recommendation to approve. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now move on to page 39, appeals. Notified appeal. Appeal allowed at 21 34508 Biston Farm Pools for additional static caravan and a touring caravan connection in with a fishing business. And the next one I'm quite interested in, this is the one that we went on a site visit to Moss Pit for the application for two additional assisted living bungalows.
Oh, this is where we're going to knock the garages down.
That's right, yeah. And I think we went against officer recommendation a little bit, but I think our decision has been justified.
And the cost was not approved by the chairman.
So well done, you.
Thanks, the chair.
Yeah, so can I just return just to the notified appeals? Mm-hmm. When are we expecting that to be come to appeal?
Which one?
The 24 39 326. we did have a time scale.
I don't think there is. There has to be processes that go through.
Thank you.
So on that happy note, I bid you all good evening.
Mr. Chairman, can I just raise a matter that I seem to raise at every meeting?
Has the meeting finished, Peter?
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry.
You can record it, doesn't matter.
No, hold on a second.
You don't know what I'm going to say?
Exactly. Just be a judge.
Just hold those horns.